Well, we are the skeleton crew this morning, but we will worship God and enjoy Him. We are glad that you all are here. We are glad that anybody who's joining us via the live stream, we're glad you're here too. And we have a few announcements, but not very many. So if you open your bulletin, it's right here, this page. There wasn't Sunday school this morning. Nobody came. That was good. There will also not be Sunday school next week, but we will pick up again on the 9th for our last cycle of Revelation, and then we will move on to something else. So please come. That's at 10. That's fun in the fellowship hall. We have a blast. I will not be here. That's the reason we're not having Sunday school. I will not be here next week, but Graham Mitchell will, and he will do a wonderful job as he always does, so give him a warm welcome. Also next week, we will be taking up a special offering to benefit the people, especially in Western Kentucky and in those areas that were hit by those tornadoes on the 10th. In addition to that offering, we will be giving a gift of $5,000. All of that money will go to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, which I know was very key in the hurricane here, and is wonderful for all across the country whenever bad things happen. In that sheet, you can also find the results of our alternative giving and our current financial situation. We are also, just a quick bulletin editing moment here after the fact. Lisa will not be here this morning, so we will not have special music after the creed. We will move straight into the offering there. And I forgot to take the lighting of the Advent wreath off after five worship services. I guess I just scanned straight over it. So we're not doing that either. Christmas is here. Merry Christmas. We're not going to be lighting our Advent wreath. So... is there anything else that needs to come to our attention this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. And join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and heavens. Let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks that you invite us every Sunday to come into your presence and offer you the praise and the worship that we were made to offer you, and where we find our deepest peace and our highest joy. We pray that you would still our minds and our hearts and quiet them of all thoughts and distractions that are earthly, so that we may truly rest in you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is number 165 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us what we already knew, that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But it also tells us what we could not have known by ourselves, that God is eager and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in the confidence and the hope of that promise, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, and Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace. As we prepare to hear the scriptures, let us pray. Lord, we are not particularly smart enough or wise enough to understand what you are saying to us by ourselves. And so we pray that you would send your Spirit among us as our teacher to make audible to our hearts your voice, and to drown out any voice that is not yours. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We are in Luke 2 this morning, chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. Hear the word of God. Now every year his parents, that's Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of the Lord. I can't help but notice that Jesus is the only one who has any clue what is going on in that entire reading. Every single other person, to one degree or another, is at sea. Take Mary and Joseph, for starters. You've got to feel sorry for Mary and Joseph. They were just being good, responsible Jewish parents. They're fulfilling their religious obligation, and they're teaching their young son to do the same thing. Can't blame them for that. They're fulfilling Exodus 23:17, which says that three times a year, and it tells you which three, Passover being one of them, all of your men will appear before the Lord God. And it's not, as you can tell from the scripture reading today, that women weren't allowed to go. Mary goes, right? But there is times, right, where, especially in the period before birth control, where women are not going to be able to make a journey to Jerusalem, and God is not going to force them. But as you can tell, Mary could go this year. So off they go with Jesus to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. Good, responsible Jewish parents. And they're in a big group. They're not by themselves. They've got their friends, they've got their family, they've got their neighbors. And so on the way home, they're not too alarmed when they can't find him. They're not helicopter parents. They're in a group of trusted people. Jesus can try out his wings a little bit, you know? But after a day and Jesus doesn't show up, they're understandably, I would say, terrified. They go back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, and you can imagine what kind of 3 days those were, they find Jesus in the temple. And I have to admire Mary's restraint when they find him. I'm not sure I would react that generously and calmly after a multi-day panic over a missing child. She doesn't fly into a rage. She doesn't burst into tears that we're told about anyway. She just delivers a mild rebuke. Child, why have you treated us like this? Can't blame her for asking. But Jesus is just surprised that they're surprised. They must have known, he says, that this is where he'd be, in his father's house. Mary and Joseph, they don't really know what's going on. And the teachers in the temple, they don't really know what's going on either. Here's a 12-year-old. You know, you kind of figure you can handle a 12-year-old, right? But he's not acting very 12-year-oldish. He's asking and answering questions with startling knowledge and wisdom. And the scripture says that all who heard him were amazed. 12 years old, Jesus was considered at the brink of adulthood, but 12 years old is 12 years old, right? Whether you're ancient or modern. And his parents and his teachers at the temple might reasonably have expected to be able to keep a handle of what is going on with Jesus. He's still basically a child. And while anyone who has spent very much time around children knows that they show startling wisdom and perception sometimes, it still has to be a little bit grating to be thrown for a loop like that by a 12-year-old, and especially your own son, especially when you're meant to be the expert in the temple. But you know, I get confused by Jesus too, and I don't think I'm alone in that. At least when you read the Bible, people start being confused by Jesus now, maybe, but they don't stop anytime soon. Confusion seems to be the constant state of Jesus' disciples straight through the four Gospels and into now. He's always doing and saying and thinking something surprising. I feel very vindicated. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading the Bible and Jesus says something and I say, "What?" And his disciples immediately pull him aside and say, "What? It's not just me. That's good." One of my favorite memories is looking over at my dad as he was sitting after Christmas in my grandfather's house working on a sermon. He had a very odd look on his face. I said, "Daddy, are you okay?" And he looks at me, he says, Jesus says confusing things, and sometimes he gets on a roll and says two or three of them at once. And that was my answer for the day. I don't think that anyone who's spent any time with the Bible is surprised to know that Jesus is confusing. Sometimes it's funny that Jesus is confusing. Sometimes it's a lot more personal when we're trying to look through the low-key or high-key chaos of our daily life and figure out some kind of pattern to it that will let us know exactly what Jesus is doing in our life. Because we know he's promised. He promised to be with us to the end of the age. And he promised that the God who cared for the birds and the sparrows will also care for us. But you know, we can't always see that working out in live action. Sometimes we can see it after the fact, with the advantage of retrospect and a little bit of space. Sometimes when we look back, we can begin to understand why God has worked in our life the way he has, but not always. Sometimes there are mysteries that remain mysteries to the grave, and sometimes they're small. After all, what would it have hurt if I had made it on the varsity soccer team or whatever? And sometimes they're major. Why did my parent or my child have to die early? Why did they have to die like that? But we all run up against the wall sooner or later. Jesus is confusing. Sometimes he's downright inscrutable. Sometimes we wonder where he is at all, because given the circumstances, it's difficult to believe that he is where we think he should be. Like Mary and Joseph, we look up in the middle of our journey and feel that he is nowhere to be found. In those times, Jesus gives us the same answer he gives his mother Mary. It's a more complicated answer than it initially appears. I really do hate to talk about Greek when I don't have to, but in this case, it makes a pretty big difference. Because, you know, an idiom says several things at once, and you can't translate that straightforwardly. Right? So it literally says, in my father's house, but it also means with my father's people and about my father's business, which those of you who read the King James Version, that's the one you've got in your head, right? Have to be about my father's business. They're all important answers. He's with the people of God, in the presence of God, doing God's work. That's where we will always find Jesus. Mary and Joseph didn't understand that answer. Maybe we don't either in certain situations. Maybe it makes exactly nothing clearer to us about our life. And we're no closer to a satisfying answer or a satisfying reason than we were before. Jesus is doing something. That's good. It's his Father's work. That's good too, but maybe I still can't understand what he's doing or why he's doing it in a specific situation. The Bible says the answer wasn't that satisfying to Mary either. I can think of all sorts of answers that I would have made if I were her. And the top of the list is something like, couldn't you at least have warned us that you were planning to stay behind and chill in the temple? Some kind of heads up would have been great. But he doesn't give Mary one, and he usually doesn't give us one either. And Mary doesn't say that. Instead, she does what we've been told several times this week that she's done before, since her life went off the rails that she had planned for it when the angel first appeared. Mary treasured these things in her heart. She didn't throw up her hands and forget about it. She didn't decide that maybe it doesn't matter after all. She didn't keep running into it head first like a brick wall, trying to get a better answer than that out of her son. She stored it away like a treasure that she just doesn't understand yet. Eventually, apparently, it became a little more clear and she brought it out again. Because who else could have told Luke about it? There's always going to be things that God is doing or has done in our life that is just a mystery to us. There's going to be things about Jesus that we just don't understand. It doesn't seem to worry him too much, to be honest. He understands. He knows what he's about. We aren't saved, after all, through our understanding, but through our faith, our trust. So when we don't know what he's about, and when his Father's business is completely opaque to us, and when it's beyond our comprehension, maybe we can mimic Mary instead of trying to be Jesus with the temple scholars, understanding everything that's going on. Maybe at the times when we just don't understand, we can simply receive God's will for us with trust and reverence and treasure these things in our hearts. Maybe we'll find that, like a seed in the earth, it starts to sprout there and bears fruit that we would not have dreamed possible. So to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please rise if you are able and join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And out of gratitude for all that God has done for us, let us return to the Lord the tithes and offerings of our life and labor. God, we owe nothing that you have not first given us, and so we have nothing to give you that you did not give us first. We ask that you take these gifts and ourselves and our lives to work in your service and bring more and more your kingdom to this world through Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is number 160.
Amen.
good. We are here at the time in worship where we pray for our concerns and for our world and our community. This time of year, I think it's especially important that we pray for those who are grieving any kind of loss, and also those who are traveling, which is a great many people this time of year, as we can see this morning. So we'll pray for those things. Is there anything else that we need to pray for this week? We're a happy bunch this morning. That's good. Let us pray. Lord our God, this week especially, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful things that you have created, including family and good food and the joy of Christmas. And we pray for those who maybe struggle more this time of year as well, who don't experience those things or don't experience them unmixed with some kind of pain. And for those who hoped their Christmas would look very different than it did. We pray for the whole world as it celebrates Christmas in different ways, or doesn't celebrate it yet, or doesn't celebrate it at all. We pray that you would display the love that you feel for each place in each particular way that it needs it. That the places that suffer from war or violence or unrest of any kind, you would grant a just and honorable peace. That the places that have been destroyed through the power of natural disaster, you would bring quick rebuilding, that you would draw the bonds of community tighter instead of letting them wither away in the aftermath. And we pray for all of those leaders, that they would lead well and appropriately. And we pray for the church that you have called forth from every nation in the world, giving you thanks that in no place have you left yourself without a witness. Your church faces as many different kinds of troubles as the world does, and you know best what it needs in each place. We ask that where it suffers from outright persecution or from suspicion, that you would grant them favor in the eyes of their government. That where it suffers more from indifference or slow decline or complacency, that you would wake it up and let us watch with Christ. And we pray for our country, for the United States of America, and our president and our governor, and all who make and enforce our laws, and all who are designing our culture, whether in institutions or online. We pray that you would give anyone that has any kind of authority the wisdom and the grace to use that authority appropriately and for the good of their people, and not for selfish motives or partisan gain. We pray that you would unite our country and heal the divide that seems to be worsening every month. We especially pray for those who are affected by Omicron and ask that you bring a quick end to this virus. We pray for those in our community that we love dearly, naming them before you in silence. Lord, if they are sick, bring them healing. If they are anxious or depressed or addicted or suffering from any mental illness, we ask that you bring them healing. If they are grieving, we ask that you bring them peace. If they are dying, we ask that you accompany them and bring them safely to you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The hymn is number 158. Into the world in peace, have courage, love, and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all, now and forever. Amen.